The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm. You'll find out what happened to Frankenstein and other stuff that never happened. Freaking nerds.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
Buried penis.
Buried penis? That sounds like a terrible treasure hunt. No thanks.
Oh, X marks the never mind.
I'll set that one out.
Well, let's work backwards from that. You were talking about the hidden. All right, we're going to talk about the Mandela effect, which is remembering things incorrectly as
just
they were.
Jumping right into
it. Well, I'm just trying to go back. I said buried penis right away.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I'm trying to explain how we got there. And then you're like, well, this doesn't relate to Mandela effect, but you remembered a air freshener can with a dick hidden in it.
Yeah.
And that's I looked up hidden penis, and it brought me to this, which is apparently a medical condition about the penis being partially or completely hidden below the surface of the skin.
Oh, boy.
So it just stuck under there.
Gotta...
Which, that's sad. What do you do?
You got to coerce them out like that guy who coerces out the earthworms.
You got, you got to.
Watched that documentary last night.
Oh, yeah. The earthworm guy.
The noise with the steel spike.
What did I say about when it's, I made an old hag joke about when it's cold out and I just have to squat over a space heater and coax my dick out like it's Punxsutawney Phil. Like, come on, buddy. I can't take any more winter. Let me see you. Let me see your little shadow there, guy. You grew up in the Midwest. Plenty of jokes about it's cold and you can't find your dick anymore.
Yeah.
Bronger had a funny joke about when he, like, being at a Bears game or something, and just some guy with so many layers on, just see him, like, struggling at the urinal and just giving up, going, like, well, I can't find my penis, and just turned and walked out. Like, couldn't get through the layers of clothing he was wearing.
That's a
side note that there's a hidden penis.
Yeah, renews it air freshener. I remember when I was in high school.
But if you just looked up hidden penis, it's going to be a lot of other stuff.
Me and my girlfriend discovered it because at her house, she had a bottle of renews it air freshener, and it was a bunch of flowers everywhere. But right there amongst all the flowers and the petals, what seems to be
kind of looks like a little pink crank.
Yeah. Looks like a little bit of a dong.
The search is related to hidden penis. Now I'm up. Turtle syndrome. How to prevent turtling. Peniscrotal lymphedema. I almost said Pensacola lymphedema. And then just baby boy circumcision photos. Fucking no.
No.
I don't want no.
Nah.
I'm upset. This is on my computer now.
Anyway, how you doing, buddy?
Well, I'm clearing my search history.
Yeah, you probably should. We were out doing manly stuff a while ago. Speaking of hidden penis.
Speaking of overcompensating for our hidden penises. Yeah, I went and de-bagged up the Jeep.
Looks good, man.
35s, 2.5-inch lift.
Dude. 35s, that's a big tire.
It's a big one.
I thought you were going to go with the 33s.
I was, and then I realized the original tires were only 32.5 anyway. I'm like, well, no, man, if I'm going to go.
That's true.
Go for it.
Yeah. Yeah, 35. What'd you go with, the BF Goodrich?
Yeah.
Nice.
AT, the KO2s.
Yeah.
Rubicon Express, 2.5 lift.
Got a synthetic
winch cable. Got an ARB onboard compressor. Ready to go. Crash in the desert a little bit.
Man, they just sell that all under one cool dude package?
Four-wheel parts.
Man.
Which is basically, I'm sure some... I don't know what the crossover dynamic of how many people... How many comedy fans who tolerate our supernatural beliefs are also off-road enthusiasts?
But sure, there's some.
But if you're out there, oh, baby, let's talk.
Dude, I used to be big into it. I had two different Jeeps.
Well, you're a Georgia fella. That's just recreation.
Oh, though, man. Just go mudding.
Yeah.
Just go root around in the mud.
I was up late watching. It was like some swamp conquest, which sounds like bad sex, but it was like this. It was just hillbillies in a swamp in Louisiana. I'm sorry. Is it bad that I throw hillbilly around a lot?
I don't think so. Huh. No.
I mean, if you're not bothered by it.
Yeah, I'm not bothered by it.
I don't think you're a hillbilly, Dave.
Yeah. And even if you
but
did,
I don't know if care. People. I don't know if people. My mom would call people hillbillies that where she meant white trash.
Exactly. As I was about to say, redneck is not offensive. Hillbilly's not offensive. But if you call somebody white trash, you know.
Because it's trash. Redneck or hillbilly still has that kind of Appalachian ingenuity attached to it. My mom would just get mad at the people that would put their couch on their front yard in the summertime to just be out there.
Well,
that was her. She'd like, you know, you're mucking up the neighborhood.
True.
So that was her problem.
Yeah.
Mucking up the neighborhood. So yeah, like it was people with giant, ridiculous swamp trucks trying to go through this pit of mud, which did not seem not even remotely attainable. But you watch them lining up with and there's money spent on these things.
Oh yeah,
they aren't cheap to do, and then or they're doing all custom mods and plowing into this mud pit that's like. Looks the way it was sinking, like at least of just liquidy, soupy mud, like swamp mud, like 4 feet. And they just did that. Like, I still want to get somewhere when I'm doing it. I don't need to destroy my vehicle.
I like those hill climbs where they're just
almost the wicked long,
just straight up. Yeah, those are cool. I think we saw some dudes doing that last time we took the Jeep
over at Gorman. Yeah. We saw some guys peeling up the hill.
Yeah. That's scary because when you're doing it, you feel like you're going to flip backwards.
Yeah, yeah. You just, you know, brake wrong or hit something and knock the front end up just a little bit. But no, I'm still going for functionality. A lot of, you know, it's an escape vehicle. We'll get out to the desert. We'll go look for them UFOs. Got to have the right whip for it.
That's true.
So you got to get out in the middle of nowhere like I did the other week when I was out by the missile range, apparently. the bombing range we camp next to.
Speaking of which... I tried to go camping this weekend.
Didn't work. Seems like...
Didn't take.
That you're doing it already.
Yeah. Well, oh, okay. Yeah, I see what you're saying. But that, no, that's why I need it. Because I'm doing it in an urban environment. I really needed, you know,
wake up to the sounds of nature, right?
Yeah, I was just like, I gotta get away for a day or two. And yeah. I went up to where we've been before, Angeles National Forest. But on a Saturday, springtime,
man,
every single campsite was occupied. And I went to like four different campsites up there. Spent like 3 hours.
That's what happened when we went up there before. We still got stuck in one right in the middle of the sun with no shade.
Yeah.
Because we're all taken up.
Yep. So that was a bummer. Like to commit to go camping and then you can't even do that.
It's I don't know how much further up you got to go. Because those are like the first campsites that everybody just trying to get out of like, you don't need anything. You just want to party. You got a cooler with... You know, 50 beers in it and a tent if you want to. Yeah. That's the spot for it.
It's about an hour away.
Yeah.
It's literally the closest campsite to L.A., so that's why.
There's a couple little, if you got an adventure pass, there's a couple little dirt roads off that.
Oh, yeah?
That with the Jeep, you can get up there and camp, and then you are just by yourself off the side of this little dirt road.
Yeah.
So,
the Sienna doesn't handle off-road
too well. The Toyota Sienna is more of a shuttle vehicle. Not gonna make it through those ruts. I don't know. The guys at Four Wheel Parts might be able to lift it, suit it, and boot it.
Well, that's why I intentionally haven't replaced those two hubcaps on the driver's side because in my mind the black wheels make it look more like a tactical vehicle.
Oh man, I got a Ford Focus. The first thing I did was take off those stupid plastic covers.
Yeah,
I'd much rather see the black wheels on it than just the dumb like plastic hubcaps.
Yeah. I have that on the passenger side.
You put them all on one side.
Mm-hmm.
That's a smart move.
Yeah.
Well, when you're driving Lyft, too, you give a good impression.
Exactly.
People walk around the other side like, who's this? Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah.
Who's this other guy with two personalities?
Mm-hmm.
Or a wolf man.
Yeah.
You know.
It's just me.
Well, anyway, so we did manly stuff.
Yeah.
We learned about buried penises.
Mm-hmm.
Hidden penises.
Mm-hmm.
In air freshener cans. I thought it was like a Little Mermaid scene or something. There was dicks.
I think they're
like a sandcastle.
Yeah, I think that is.
Which is what I thought I'd see when I looked up hidden penis, but instead just nothing but medical.
Got to be careful with that.
It's a real issue.
Something else I wanted to talk about real quick.
What you want to talk about, Dave?
Saw a bike crash yesterday.
Yeah.
I saw... Okay, here's my problem with... What do you call them? you call them bikers or cyclists?
Cyclists.
All right, they're cyclists. All right, I appreciate that, you know, you're riding a bike and cutting down on polluting the ozone and all that, but like, all right, and I know you're not necessarily a cyclist, you're more of a mountain bike guy, but you have ridden your bike.
I'm a bicycle aficionado.
Yeah, you ride, you know, in town a lot. You ride to gigs and stuff. So, share the road, I get that. What's a cyclist's argument for never obeying the laws of the road?
There's piece of shit cyclists, just like there's piece of shit drivers.
Yeah.
In my own defense, stuff that I've done, if I've blown a stop sign or something, only with the, in my head, the obvious knowledge that nobody's around or a car coming up to a four-way stop is far enough off is like to, you know, and this is on you. If you want to ride a bike, that rebuilding speed is a lot more work than just hitting a gas pedal.
I get that.
Especially if you're coming down a hill and about to go up another one. You're going to be prone to wanting to keep that speed up as much as you can. That doesn't justify it, doesn't make it right. Mm-hmm. But in the head, like, oh, nobody's around, I could take this one. But fixed gear bicycles can just bite my crank. Like, that's a bicycle joke on top of the what I was saying. Is that
seems broken to me, dumbass.
You know, I'm bite my crank, and there's a crank. Yeah. Fixed gear is just the dumbest shit I've ever seen with a bicycle, and it's just.
What's just, the point?
Macho bullshit.
Really?
That nobody has ever told me another reason. It originated with velodrome. Well, it originated with penny farthings. You know what an original fixed gear bike is? It's the fucking big wheel in the front and the little tiny one in the back.
Really?
And you have a top hat and a mustache. That's what a fixed gear is. And so as soon as they invented freewheel, that should never exist on the road.
So to the novice, explain exactly what a fixed gear
you
means.
Can, if the wheel's turning, the pedals are moving. You can never stop. The chain is a fixed gear in the back.
Gotcha.
So if that chain is moving or if the wheel's moving, that gear in the back is fixed and it's turning the pedals.
Uh-huh.
The whole operation. If the bike's moving, the pedals are moving.
Okay.
If I have a single speed, it's a freewheel. You can stop pedaling and that's it. But fixed gear, so now it was velodrome racing where it's just banked track oval bicycle racing. And you're never using brakes. Your whole point is to just continue to go as fast as possible. So lighten the load and, yeah, just have a simple fixed gear bike.
So how does one riding a fixed gear bike apply? How do they stop?
Some of them have a handbrake on it, but you do like whatever they do, like a little kick stop, or you're basically blowing your knees out more than you already are by trying to apply pressure backwards.
Uh-huh.
It's just stupid. It's just macho dog shit. That's, as far as my opinion, and like to ride it in a city, it's like, look, I can't stop pedaling. Look at me go around traffic. And then it became a trend, and everybody got hit by fucking cars, and the trend went away. So they can all suck my dick.
Well, I wonder if that's what happened with this dude. All right, so what happened was I was driving for our LA folks, Hollywood Boulevard, just past Hillhurst, right there in Los Feliz. And I was going westbound on Hollywood Boulevard, right in front of the Goodwill. And there's a big pedestrian crossing. It's not an intersection, per se, but there's a big pedestrian crossing. And that's one of the few that actually has the big flashing lights.
Yeah, letting you know.
I like those. Like the ones right out here in front of your house, there's no lights.
And it's a lot of people just like really taking a slow sprint.
Yeah, and it's like,
tone it out and then bolting.
It's like, I know you got the right of way, but I didn't see you. Yeah. Anyway, this had the giant flashing lights. I'm in one lane. There's two lanes of traffic going in the same direction. So I'm in one lane. There's another car in the other lane. We're at the head of the pack. So we both see the light flashing. We both stop. There's this nerd, this real dorky dude, had his big, giant Starbucks in one hand, and he had his phone, of course, in his other hand, looking down. Yeah. Granted, he had the right-of-way.
But you're crossing traffic.
Crossing traffic. I hate seeing that. Even when it
Several-ton vehicles.
Yes. Maybe take your damn face out of your phone and try not to get murdered out on the roadway. Sure enough, me and the car, all the other cars, we stop. This guy starts to cross, head down in his phone. To my right comes zooming this hipster on a bicycle. Boom!
No helmet, right?
No helmet, just, and like couldn't break. Maybe he was riding a fixed gear because he didn't break. Yeah. He tried to swerve and miss him at the last second. Like, he didn't see him till like he was 5 feet away.
Yeah.
And just violent collision. Coffee goes everywhere. Phone flies up in the air. Both guys fall down.
Yeah. It sounds like fuck both of them.
Yeah. And then the guy.
Hipster on hipster accidents. Yeah.
The cyclist gets up and he starts apologizing. Oh, I'm so sorry. And he helps the guy up. So once they kind of clear out, then we all drive forward, and my window was down, and I just go, "That's why we all stopped, idiot." Got him good.
You really showed him.
Yeah, showed him. But seriously,
he
you
broke
see,
his spine.
There's a giant yellow flashing lights. All lanes of traffic are stopped, but Mr. Bicycle is just going to mow on through it.
And that's one of those things that people like about bicycles, like when you know, like, okay, I know there's a stop sign up ahead, and that's why cars are stopped.
Mm-hmm.
I get to cruise between them on the bike to the front.
Yeah.
So
I don't mind that.
I mean, both parties, I would say, if we're holding a little court,
mm-hmm.
I'd say both parties are at fault.
Oh, absolutely.
Cyclist much more so.
Yeah, but the nerd should have
crossing,
been looking.
Just crossing that's a busy section of street.
Yeah.
It's a busy section.
Five lanes of traffic.
Boulevard. Yeah. So just staring at your phone. Staring at your phone while walking down a sidewalk and having people have to move out of your way is bad enough.
I will
deserves a shoulder check.
I intentionally shoulder check folks.
Yeah. Olay, motherfucker.
Yeah. I've got a new I got a real simple policy.
You're the bullfighter now.
I got a real simple policy. And I'll admit I don't always adhere to it, but I try. I don't look at my phone when I'm moving. Whether it be my feet, whether it be in a car. If my body is moving, I'm not going to look down at my phone.
If I try to be conscious, like, all right, move all, hug the side of a building where you know it's not traffic.
Or stop. Stop and dip into a corner. I do that. Yeah. And if I'm walking, I got to handle
a
text.
There's a lot of people.
I will stop and dip off.
Well, we grew up in a time when these things were added on to our lives later on and afterwards. Whereas these kids, they just grew up with it. And so it's second nature. It doesn't seem rude to them.
Well, then you're going to get ran into. You're going to you're going to catch a flipper from me, and then hipster bicycle guy's going to run into you.
Speaking of not growing up remembering things differently, that worked? Did that transition
work? I think so.
Into what was different? All right. Well, fuck. I mean, that's what's not. We're not doing pro transitions here. It's not what it's about. By the way, it's the Boogie Monster with Kyle and Dave.
Yeah.
Just, you know. Mandela effect.
Yeah, dude.
This is something I just heard about, and then a few people have written in asking us about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were listening to a different show that said it was kind of – they just discovered, quote-unquote, discovered it in 2010?
2010 is when it started the phrase started getting tossed around. And a lot of people give credit to this gal named Fiona Broom. She was a blogger. In 2010, she was at, I believe, Dragon Con, and she will even admit that she's not sure if it was herself or somebody else. They were in the green room at Dragon Con, and
now the idea of Mandela effect is having the Mandela effect.
I think so. But it's her and another person who will take credit for the term, and all spawning from the namesake, Mandela effect. She was making conversation about how she thought, I guess somehow Mandela got brought up, Nelson Mandela, and she's like, oh, I thought he died in the 80s when he was in prison. And apparently a lot of people have thought that. Some people have even stated that they remember seeing his funeral on TV. But, of course, Nelson Mandela, former president of South Africa and apartheid icon. He passed away in 2013, December 2013. But a lot of people thought, oh, I thought he died back in the 80s.
Yeah. Was it white people?
I don't know.
Like this, like of some of these examples, have been like, oh, it's just good old fashioned white people being unintentionally. Well, specifically, the one that having read about this, Mandela, never had that. Did you think he was dead?
No.
I didn't know enough about him. I was a child in the 80s, and I was like, oh, I know this is a big issue, and that guy seems like he's doing a good thing. And then
And I remember when he got out of jail, it was a big deal.
Yeah.
What, in the early 90s? maybe late 80s, and then he became president, I think from 94 to 99, he's president of South Africa. But yeah. No, I never thought he was dead until, you know, he died.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, what, a bunch of people who are just white children in the 80s. Hey, do you remember your, you know, African leaders?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, African, well, the other one is that people thought that Sinbad... This is shown up on these lists, by the way. Uh-huh. I will say, I think the Mandela effect, I think there's maybe five solid examples, and then a lot of exaggerated lists.
Mm-hmm.
And the one is like, ooh, everybody thought that Sinbad was in a genie movie. And that's fucking stupid because it's Sinbad. Sinbad, his name is Sinbad, which is a pirate, but it's close to be, you could be a genie named Sinbad.
Uh-huh.
It's of the realm. And he dressed like a fucking genie all through the 80s.
Yeah.
That was his whole thing. He wore Zuba's chaps. He wore chaps that were made out of parachutes.
Man, that was a goofy look back then.
Yeah, yes. It was a genie look. And the movie they're thinking about is Kazam, mm-hmm. with Shaquille O'Neal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fucking white people mixing up their black people in the 80s.
What sitcom was he in? Was he in A Different World?
Who,
kind of this Sinbad? I think he was in A Different World, the spinoff from The Cosby Show. I think that was a spinoff.
There was, was that where she went to college?
They all went to college. I think he was like the, what do you call, like the dorm RA.
Dwayne Wayne.
Yeah.
Who's Dwayne Wade is a basketball player,
yeah.
But I'm like Dwayne Wayne from A Different World.
Yep. But I think Sinbad, I'm pretty sure he was in, that'd be funny if he wasn't. I got my own Mandela effect.
He was in First
here.
Kid.
But yeah, I'm pretty sure he was in A Different World, and he was the. What do they call the
resident advisor?
Advisor. Yeah, I didn't go to college.
That I don't remember. Somebody when I was reading about it, like, oh, that's why people think it. He was in. He did show up in something as a genie. It's fucking Sinbad. He basically is a genie.
Mm-hmm.
It's a giant dude in almost genie clothes.
Yeah.
For any time you could remember him,
mm-hmm.
That's easy to think he was in a genie movie. But there was a different black genie movie, and that was Shaq, and. All y'all racist for screwing that up without double-checking your own facts first.
Well, in some of these examples, it's like the concept – people try to put it under the umbrella of the Mandela effect. But it's like, no, you were just incorrect.
Yeah. Yeah. How many
like, people – how is that a phenomenon? Like, no, you were just wrong.
And how is these interviewing things – like if you said, oh, which genie movie was – Sinbad in, and then you gave three non-answers, and then none. He was never in a movie. Like, how are you asking these people?
Yeah.
Where's the research?
Yeah.
And they're all like, Mandela effect is going to blow your fucking mind. But it doesn't.
Well, I mean, there's some interesting examples. Before we get into those, just the concept of memory is interesting. Mm-hmm. I've always been fascinated by just the concept of how we remember things, you know, we remember things correctly, we remember things incorrectly, and just memory in general. And I was thinking about this recently. Do you remember – this is kind of ironic. Do you remember your first memory?
I have no idea. How do you know if it's your first one?
Earliest. Or it doesn't have to be the first, but a better question. What's one of the earliest memories that you recall?
I can remember – I can remember like when my sister was like, my sister and I were like, if she was, so we're like 2.5 years apart. And so when she was like a tiny baby, so I was probably 2.5, I remember like crawling in her crib and then like grabbing ledges, like windowsills to just move the crib around. Like we're both in a car and I was just pulling the crib around the room.
Huh.
So I remember that. I don't even know if that happened, but it's something I remember.
Yeah.
But it's trusting your own memory.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you know?
True. Well, I recently discovered that I have a very early memory. I've always had this memory of it being my birthday.
Mm.
Somehow, I don't know how I knew it at the time. But I remember vividly that someone gave me a birthday present when I was very young, maybe my parents. And it was in a big box,
mm-hmm.
a big box wrapped with blue wrapping paper. I remember like powder blue wrapping paper. And I remember thinking in my dumb little toddler mind that this is the gift. Just the big, dumb. Now, I don't remember what was in the box, but I remember thinking like, oh, okay, I'm going to play with this box. And I would throw it around the room, and I would lay on top of it, and I'd wrestle with it, and I'd sling it up against the wall.
We just have to get Dave boxes that are well wrapped from
I was
on.
Fascinated with this box. And later in life, you know, as a child or, you know, an older child, I would see pictures of it and know that, oh, yeah, that, I remember that was my birthday and whatever. And I thought it was like my third or fourth birthday or whatever. Mm-hmm. Come to find out that was my first birthday. And then going back and looking back at the picture, there's a picture my mom has of me just holding this box like I conquered it. And I look like a one-year-old. And she's like, oh, yeah, that was your first birthday. And she didn't realize that I had vivid memory of that.
You can hold stuff when you're one? I don't know how babies work.
I started walking when I was like 7.5 months.
Well,
I was a badass little baby.
You're an animal.
Yeah. But I don't think that's normal. You're not supposed to have memories that early. Does that mean I'm just super smart?
Well, you're talking about people that have, probably also, yes, mm-hmm. You're super smart, Dave.
Yeah.
That's a gift. Dave's super smart. Dave's super smart recipe corner coming up after this.
Smart enough to where I didn't realize that there was an actual gift inside the box. But I was
one. You're one. You don't know what shit is. Can you imagine? Like, that's what I can't imagine going back, like where everything is just like, well, what's that? All right, now what's that? And then why does it do that? Like just processing the idea of just new. You're just a new tiny bird. The reason they say, you know, children are susceptible to more supernatural stuff because they don't question anything away. They don't explain it away in their minds immediately.
Yeah.
What's that sound? You know, I guess I'll just talk to this other voice that's out here. There's not something shaking it off or more perceptive to things. But, I can't. All my stuff's very hazy. Mm-hmm. I think it probably what I can remember still. My memory's shit anyway, but probably like 5 or 6 or like that's when I remember stuff.
You remember earlier than that though. Equate it to school. All right, did you go to preschool like before kindergarten?
Yeah, but I remember very few. I remember like toys that were there, but I don't remember specific moments.
Yeah, but
I remember an object. I remember they had those like basically they were just a. Garage dollies they give kids. You just sit on them and had wheels on them, and they just have you push those around until you slammed heads with another child. A lot of dangerous things. A lot of stuff there. Yeah. I was like, wow, I'm glad that I had that.
Yeah,
stuff. I got hurt. A lot of rusty playground equipment. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that, but that, you know when it was taken out, I don't know.
I remember going to pre-K. I was 4 years old. It was like a church based. School thing.
I did one of those.
Right before public school. So I was 4, and I remember vividly that one day they brought in some jackass who wanted to teach us all how to tumble. We're gonna tumble.
Tumbling was a big thing.
And I wasn't having it. I didn't want to do like...
It's named after an accident.
And I would do the log roll, and I would slam around, but I didn't want to flip backwards. They were trying to get us to
backwards
do some...
Somersault,
And I was like, no, sir. Get it out of here. And I remember just being...
You didn't
just
want
like,
to tumble?
I was afraid it was going to break my neck. I didn't trust my own athleticism.
Oh, I remember being like, this is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. This is it? Tumbling is just flopping around on mats?
Yeah.
Got it. Done.
But I remember that vividly, and that was 4.
I remember a peewee soccer game that sucked. I fucking hated sports anyway. And I'm like, oh, I guess I got to... You know, it's one of those things you're a kid. Like, yeah, I'll join it. My friends are going to be in it. And just the winter, and I just had all these... Like I grew up around a bunch of Italians and Greeks, so every game was the fucking World Cup for these guys. And I was just there with one hand digging in my nose and the other hand digging in my ass, just looking at airplanes and just being – my mom's like – and they would just swear at you in Italian the whole time. And I was just out there dicking around with the shit. Dandelions and stuff. I did not care at all.
Yeah.
Did not care.
Just went into it?
Nope. And the rest of the team was like, no, you're not helping. I'm like, no, I'm not. Not going to be back next year. You betcha. I know I had a powder blue shirt with a number 2 on it, and now 2's my lucky number just because they're like, well, you gave me a shirt with 2 on it when I was in first grade. I guess 2's my thing. Remember that? I remember, it was the Cougars. The name of the team was the Cougars.
Oh, yeah?
I'm remembering stuff.
Yeah. There you go, buddy.
No, I'm sitting in first grade. But
breakthroughs,
yeah. How are you in first grade?
Six, seven.
All right. I bet if I thought harder than that.
I was a phenomenal peewee soccer player.
Oh, really?
I was just dominated.
Tumbling wasn't your thing.
No, but I just dominated in soccer. I would score like 5 goals a game. All these idiots like you just standing there. It's like, beat it, loser.
Yeah.
And just blow right past them.
I know. And I would watch guys like you score and be like, I wonder what's missing from my life that doesn't bring me joy. And then I realize nothing's missing, and I'm fine, and I don't need that to feel better. So fuck yourself, Dave.
Our dumb little local newspaper. How crazy is this? They used to report on the games, and like my name was in the paper every week. You know, left forward David Stone scored 3 goals against the Cobras, and like. Can you imagine that now? Like, who gives a shit?
Well, now I think it's just like, you know what? Let's not put our child's name in the paper.
True. But, my parents got scrapbooks of, like, I was like 6, 7, 8 years old just every week. I'm in the paper for scoring goals.
I met Reagan when I was in the Tiger Cubs. The Tiger Cubs right before Cub Scouts.
Yeah. And, was that the orange shirts?
Yeah.
Remember those?
Orange sleeves.
Those are
and
badass.
The softball shirts. And we're at the Republican National Convention in Chicago in 84, so
yeah.
8 years old. Is it 84?
Going for a second term?
Yeah, and I just remember my dad like taking us and just like couldn't understand why he's in a bad mood. He's like, oh, because he fucking hates Republicans. And we're here like, look at us, little kid.
Y'all had to go.
Yeah, I just chaperoned it. Yeah. And I'm like, we need a group. I don't know how we got picked. It was as we were there, like, we need some kids to bring flags up. And it was at Rosemont Horizon, which is now the whatever fucking corporate thing there, Allstate Arena. But it's like an arena, like walking up on a stage in a stadium to give.
Wow. You know,
like, I don't remember the act of it.
Uh-huh.
I remember seeing the picture and be like, look, I'm in the paper. I don't remember. The whole thing was just blinding, like, what's happening? I'm a child. I don't even want to be here.
Yeah.
And then I got to go and, all right, whatever.
Oh boy. Well, let's get back into some of these examples and see if
let's find out.
See how you feel on some of these. I got a short list here. I know you got another list here. Some that kind of stuck out to me here, other than Nelson Mandela. And we've talked about this before, the Bernstein versus Bernstein Bears.
That's the one where I'm like, there's no way. Like, I remember, now that I've heard about the Mandela effect and read about it, I'm convinced that, I was wrong. But the whole time I was like, it's Berenstain Bears. There's no stain.
Mm-hmm.
Whether in bears or human names, it's not Einstein.
Yeah. No. I've never heard of a something
Stein.
Steinerstein.
And I wonder why it was that way. They're bears, so let's not make them obviously Jewish.
I remember as a kid.
Let's keep it neutral.
I didn't know which was correct, but even as a kid, I remember some people called them Berenstain and some people called them Berenstain, and I don't know. But I do remember even as a kid.
I had the books.
Knowing that, you know, there was some discrepancy.
I had the books first and remember going to a cartoon. Still, that one, that's the only one that really, like, I'm checking myself, like, what was going on?
Yeah. Another one that stuck out to me, Jif peanut butter, not Jiffy. I'm aware of Jif because I know the logo and the 3 letters, the J-I-F.
Yeah.
But for some reason, when I was a kid, I just feel like I ate Jiffy peanut butter.
But I think it's because in the ads, they would say... Here, let me see what they said here. They actually would say, like, you can make it in a jiffy. Yeah, they would say that you could.
Oh, so it would have the word jiffy in there, but not as the name?
Yeah, in the ads they would say, like, oh, you can make it in a jiffy. choosy moms choose Jif. Mm-hmm. They said it right there. That one, I'm like, that's easy.
Well,
for to like you abbreviate, you made a fake abbreviation out of a word that people already use.
Yeah,
that is understandable to me. You would confuse them.
Well, and a lot of this too, probably, especially as a young child, how your parents or your friends would pronounce things. Like, for example, I have an aunt that mispronounces everything. One time, I used to drive a Lexus. It was an old one, not a nice new one.
Isn't that the one you took the mirror off when
I
first met you?
Exactly. Yeah, when we first met. But she asked me how I was enjoying my Lexuses. You driving that fancy Lexuses? Okay. I mean, she mispronounces everything.
I thought you were going to do a real bad accent there. Like,
she has a real bad accent.
Oh, well, no, like she had Down syndrome or something. Mm. I was like, oh, don't do that, Dave. We talked about that.
Yeah, how's that Lexuses? One time she asked me if I was going on tour with Craig Ferguson.
I'll be that person. Like when I'm older, like I don't need to know.
But my point is, especially with some of her examples, there's nobody else named Ferguson. If you've heard people have a name called Ferguson with a G.
Yeah.
There's nobody. There's no Mike Ferguson. But she would always say, how is that old Craig Ferguson?
Well, when you get old, you just get filled up with words. Yeah. And the rest of it's just spillage. It's just, you know, it's just like, no, that's in the reserve tank, that one. I'm not going to learn that one correctly.
Yeah.
My mom would do the same thing where like I moved out like with Matt Bronger.
Mm-hmm.
Bronger. Mm-hmm. Like Wronger. Like Donger. We call him Donger. Matt Dwyer would call him Matt Donger, Fat Donger. Matt Bronger, Fat Donger. That was his nickname. But she was like, so you're like for years, you can say wrong, right? You can say Wronger?
Yeah.
Say Bronger. But I think it's when you learn it that the moment you learn it, if you learn it incorrectly, it's so hard to reverse the idea, like Bronger, like
true. I could see with that. I probably before
but
I met
with
him,
years
I,
of correction.
Yeah, years of correction
of every time.
Yeah,
like Bronger.
My mom in the fall, she loves to go to the Apple Festival or the Pumpkin Festival.
P's and B's are already in there.
No V, just a B. Festival. We went to the Apple Festival.
Maybe your mom's Filipino.
And I always try to correct her, and she's just like, it don't matter.
That's what I'm saying. You get to an age where it's like, who cares?
She does not
care. I like saying it the way I say it. I always like saying McDonald's.
McDonald's, yeah.
Tie that back. You know why? That's how Sinbad said it when I was little. And I was like, I like the way this guy says McDonald's. You ever get one of them shakes from the McDonald's? I just like, man, that whole bit. Still killer.
Yeah.
Still killer. Sinbad trying to...
Well, I appreciate the throwing in of the McDonald's.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Yeah, I love that.
Here's a regional one. We had two grocery stores, Jewel and Dominic's.
Okay.
A man named Dominic.
Uh-huh.
An apostrophe, yes. That's his store. Uh-huh. Jewel is just an individual Jewel.
Uh-huh.
Old people all throughout Chicagoland pluralize the wrong ones.
Yep.
I got to go to Dominic. We're going to Jewel's.
Yep.
Well, I got to go down to Jules.
Yep.
I got to stop by Dominic. And it was like, where all the kids, you talk about it, like, your mom said Jules? Yeah.
Yeah.
Drives me nuts. It means balls. You're going to balls. You're going to balls to buy groceries.
We had our own version. We had Bilo. Mm-hmm. B-I-L-O. Bilo. And my brother worked there throughout his entire high school career. Mm-hmm. And every third person, your brother's still working over there. The Bilos. Not just plural, but they throw the V in there, too. The Bilos.
What is the encouragement to make things more complicated?
You're working over at the Bilos.
Is it just making the world seem a little bit more sophisticated when you do that?
I guess. I don't know. Here's one we were talking about earlier. Queen's song, We Are the Champions.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people feel like, or they think that final line, when it kind of comes to a... he's wrapping it up. We are the champions.
Let it go, yeah.
Of the world, but there is no of the world.
Very gospel way of saying.
Yeah, I can't do. I'm gonna try to do Freddie Mercury.
Of the world.
Elvis sings Queen. But yeah, so and in my head, I feel like
that would be a good matchup.
Yeah, that would. But We Are the Champions of the world. That's how some people
the end of the song,
feel like that's how the song ends, but it does not end with of the world. It just ends with we are the champions, yeah. And then it just drones off.
And that, as we were discussing, this I'm calling bullshit on this one, uh-huh. too. It's because how many people remember that song as like, oh, I got the album, and this is a great song from an album? Or do you remember it affiliated with sports teams winning, commercials, movies, where all those people using the song have edited it to fit the context they want it to?
Mm-hmm.
So they've ended the song from the world, and then it fades out to whatever programming you're watching, and they're utilizing the song.
Uh-huh.
So that, again, it's not like you're wrong for remembering it that way.
Yeah.
It's that the public use of that song, I think, has been generally edited there. So that, again, there's like three good examples of this, and people are just butt-fucking the idea with everything they and their one idiot friend thought, and now that just makes it on to these regurgitated BuzzFeed lists.
Here's one that really got me. I was convinced, and I learned the correct...
My name's been Jerry this whole time.
I learned this a few months ago, before we even started thinking about Mandela Effect. It just... I don't know how I started researching mm-hmm. it, but my entire childhood – not childhood, but when did Tiananmen Square happen over in China? Was that the late 80s? I feel like that was the late 80s.
Yeah.
For some reason – so in the late 80s, I was just starting to become a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Yeah. I don't know. Anyway – my entire teenage years and up until a few months ago,
yeah.
I always associated that Tiananmen Square video of the guy standing in front of the tank,
yeah.
not letting the tanks pass. I don't know why I thought that scene ended with dude getting run over and splattered by that tank. I felt like, obviously, we never saw that on the nightly news,
yeah.
but I felt like that was one of those like faces of death thing. Like, oh, they never show you that on the news, but like 3 seconds later, he gets crushed. And I feel like somewhere I saw that image of just a big red splat.
I feel like maybe – I feel like it was made fun of in that way.
Uh-huh.
But is that one on these lists?
Yeah. Yeah, that's one that people think, just like me, that it ended in a bloodbath, but it did not. The guy, his friends, or some people, I have recently seen footage
yeah.
of how it ends. People come and drag him away, and then everything's fine. But my whole life, I just thought, oh, man, oh, Tiananmen Square, the tank guy, oh, yeah. They don't show you that on the news, but, yeah, he got splattered.
Yeah, now that one I knew. I don't know the results of it. I'm mm-hmm. not going to act like, no, obviously the conflict was resolved. I know they didn't. I remember it being symbolically so, you know, it just very emotionally, even as a kid, like, oh,
yeah.
wow, this is – you're just a guy. That's a tank. You'll clearly die. Every time I play G.I. Joes, one guy isn't going to beat a tank, man. You got to get your head out of your ass, buddy, not realizing, you know, whatever I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
This one here, I got one here. About Skechers shoes, which who gives a fuck? See, these lists are so fucking stupid. Skechers, I've made the joke before. I'll say it again. Men's Skechers are just child molester Air Jordans. That's all they are. They just let you know you play the game.
What is the appeal of the adult male wearing Skechers?
There isn't one. Unless you're a cop and you want to profile somebody, you'd be like, that guy has child porn on his computer. He's an adult man wearing Skechers.
What I know what Skechers are, but are they designed? Are they orthopedic? Like it's, oh, if you want like a really comfortable shoe, you get you Skechers.
No, they're just,
or is it just a dumb brand?
It's just
brand?
A brand of shoes.
Okay.
But everybody, like, so this one is like, it's not with a, it doesn't have a T in it.
Okay.
It's just Skechers. It's like.
The correct way is with no T.
Yeah.
Okay. Who cares?
I've never heard anybody. I'm the only one I know that's thought about Skechers longer than 3 seconds,
mm-hmm.
and it was to write a joke about how dudes that wear them are creeps. So nobody else gives a fuck about how Skechers was spelled, and it's just people going by the natural thing. If you are upset, like, oh yeah, because the word sketch has a T in it, and this brand has changed it. But I give so little of a shit about the brand, I assume there's a T in it. That's not Mandela Effect. It's
Yeah, and there's a lot of these that pertain to brand names. For example, Febreze. Yeah. A lot of people think that it would be spelled, you know, the logical way where the breeze part would have two E's together.
Yeah.
And then a Z and then an E.
It's Febreze.
It's Febreze.
So that's just people spelling things the right way and assuming else otherwise. Like Fruit Loops. Like, I can believe fruit had two O's in it, too. You can't believe a colorful children's cereal would spell things in a wacky fashion.
One of the most bigger errors that fall under the Mandela Effect, and again, maybe playing off your "We Are the Champions" angle as far as the way you've heard it.
Yeah.
Star Wars. I don't know if it was Star Wars. Was it? I know it was that trilogy, but I forgot which movie. But
it's
the
Space Scuffles.
The the iconic or supposedly iconic line, Luke. I am your father.
Yeah.
He doesn't say Luke. He says, no, I am your father.
Yeah.
But that's, again, it's that, that's one of those things that just time and time again, your buddies, references on TV, just, you know, Luke, yeah. I am your father.
Well, like, and it's the same with Hello Clarice from Silence of the Lambs. That was incorrect. He says, like, good morning, Clarice.
Oh, really? He doesn't say hello, Clarice?
No, I got it on this list here. He says, what does he say? Yeah, he never says that. He says, good morning. He never, I mean, he says her name, obviously.
Uh-huh.
But again, I think this is where hack comedy has affected the perception. You know, with both lines. How many, Luke, I am your father. You get enough comedians in the 80s like repeating that or late night talk show hosts using that as a punchline.
Mm-hmm.
It's become the quote.
Yeah.
In popular culture.
Even though it's incorrect.
Never from the movie. Yeah. But no, popular culture. It's been said so many times. You've heard the line. Think about how many times you've seen Star Wars or seen Silence of the Lambs versus how many times you've heard somebody talk about it or regurgitate a line.
Exactly. Yeah,
you watch the movie once or twice, unless there's one of these freak shows that you know still can't go to bed even though they're 48 without watching 9 episodes. Which one are you on now? 4.3 or -6? I don't know.
Don't know. Don't care.
There's a new. I guess these new ones are good. I've once the Jar Jar Binks thing. I was like, oh, I'm not a child or dumb. I don't need to watch this. That being said, gonna go finally see Fast and Furious 8 tomorrow. Pretty jollied up about that.
Oh yeah.
But that's what I think. Like,
yeah.
You've just heard it from not the source so many times.
Exactly. Kind of like, excuse me while I kiss this guy.
Yeah.
Even though that's kind of a joke.
But it's an example
knows,
of an obvious joke where these are just people regurgitating stuff more than ever, than anybody's ever checking the original source.
Yeah. Another version, speaking of movies, this was news to me. One of the most probably quoted lines of a movie in the 90s, Life is like a box of chocolates.
Yeah.
Apparently, he says life was like a box of chocolates. Mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. But everybody says it
was and is.
Yeah. And a lot of that could be, you know, his accent.
The accent, and then also if you're going to repeat it in a popular context, you wouldn't use past tense.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be like, oh, you know what they say. Life is like a box of chocolates. He's talking about how his mother used to say it.
Uh-huh.
So if you're using it, even though you're being like, well, you know what Forrest Gump would say life is like to make it fit why you'd say it in popular culture.
But I don't think slow-witted Forrest Gump was worried about conjugation.
Well, he knew when he was talking about his mama that she was dead already because he said it from the bench.
But
when
still,
his mom was already dead, so
yeah.
Mom always said life was like a baby's be. He can conjugate.
But if you really want to split hairs, Mama probably never said life was.
It's a podcast about ghosts.
Mama probably said life is. So
if it's Mama always said
life, was
he could say either way, and it'd be correct.
I know, but I just feel like that character wouldn't change the conjugation because Mom is now dead. I just, because the quote, what did Mama always say? Mama said, life is like a box of chocolates.
She said there'd be days like this. Uh-huh. She also said she was going to knock you out. Mom said a lot of things, Dave.
I can't argue with that.
Fucking mom. Boy, she's got a lot of opinions.
Oscar Meyer.
One is inexcusable,
Dave. Who gives a shit?
Inexcusable.
Yeah, because of the song.
There's a song that tells you, my baloney.
He has a first name. It's O-S-C-A-R.
M-A-Y-E-R. Last name.
He has a last name.
Your fucking baloney has a first and last name.
But even in the song, do you think people could have just been M-E-Y-E-R? Like just
never
misquoting the song.
Because it didn't happen to me, I say it's shit. You know, that's my track record for everything we talk about. I don't believe it, so therefore, and not true. Let's see. We got one about E.T. Phone Home, the famous line. You remember is E.T. Phone Home?
Uh-huh. Is that not
what
it was?
He's actually saying E.T. Home Phone?
No. No.
I think they're just fucking with me.
Yeah, I don't believe that. He would say E.T.
But in your defense, the other kid says E.T. phone home. The kid says it. He says E.T. home phone. And then the kid is changing it. That's dumb. I don't care about that.
One that I saw on the list is some people don't know how many states there are. Well, that's just people being stupid.
Yeah, who's that?
Some people think, is it 51? Mm-hmm. And I get the whole, is it Puerto Rico or Costa Rica or something that we?
Oh boy, Dave.
I don't know.
It's Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
Yeah. You'll know when they become a state. There will be a lot of parades.
I get that, but that was the easiest thing to remember as a kid. Oh yeah, there's 50 states. 50 states.
I mean, I could see if you're an old person.
Yeah, before Hawaii.
Forgot they added stuff. Ooh, how do you think Harry Houdini died?
Oh, I heard something about this.
This is exactly what I remembered.
He get punched in the stomach?
Yeah.
Yeah. So is that true or not?
Yeah. I don't know. So this is like, they're just coming up with shit to fill out these lists.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember that because that's me and my sister used to do that to each other. Like, look how we could take punches in the stomach. And everyone would be like, that's how Harry Houdini died. And I'm like, hey, who's that?
Did you ever do this as a child? Speaking of memory, when I was a kid, I used to rewatch movies thinking that maybe this time the outcome's different.
I do that now.
I'll give you an example. I used to watch Rocky IV all the time and hoping maybe this time Apollo doesn't die. I was so sad when Apollo Creed died.
And is it maybe there's like – I have that now where I know the ending of the movie. But I don't think – you know what it is? I think if the movie's good enough, it makes you believe that the end can – like maybe not even good enough but emotionally manipulative.
Uh-huh.
Like if they do that well, you'd be like, it's going to work out in the end. Like it – You can forget about the end. Like, you know what the end is. But in the moment that the movie you're watching, the first act or something, or the second act, where you're believing, you know, Powell's going to live and going to be a champ, or if it's like, you know, they're going to get back together. If the acting's good enough and the story's good enough, you believe it in that moment.
Yeah.
Just the same way, you know, over and over again is weird. But if it's good in that moment, same reason, like, it's not the same reason you listen to a song over and over again. But that moment gives you a good feeling. And then the end, you're like, oh, shit, he does die. That's a drag. But you don't have to think about it for another hour and a half. Maybe. Yeah. I'm full of answers, Dave.
But really, in my dumb 10-year-old brain, I would think like, well, maybe this is like a director's cut or something, and maybe he doesn't die.
Oh, like straight up, they just sent you a whole different movie.
Yeah. Like, maybe he just...
There's a little boy in Georgia. He's pretty upset that Apollo dies. So we got a special version just for everybody who can't... What a hilarious... I was just talking to Rachel, and she had to deal with like a bunch of S&P shit for some shows.
S&P. Standards and practices.
Like how it just... And they're just tight-assed fuck faces that, you know, don't pass anything. This will offend somebody. Like, they're the people who, like, if you write a script and you get it back, like, well, you said shit this 16 times, and you said fuck, and you said dick fuck, and then fuck dick and fuck stick, and they just have to give you a list of how many times. Like, you can only have three of fuck stick and one dick fuck, and it's just hilarious to get that breakdown. But what if there's, like, some Christian company that just redoes movies to make sure they end nice?
I think there is that.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. You know why
face,
I know?
Your face, you are fucking excited right now.
You know why I know?
Why?
I'm pretty sure, remember that documentary that I was in?
That Apollo Creed lives at the end?
No, the documentary that I starred in, that you were also in, that has yet to see the light of day.
In your vegan summer.
Yes. The company who produced that, I'm pretty sure they're Mormon. They were based out of Utah, and the director and the producer, they were all Mormon. And I think dude did a documentary about a company that does that to movies so Mormons can watch them.
Really?
This company, yeah, he did a documentary. He didn't do the thing, but he made a documentary before my documentary.
About?
He made a documentary about a company in Utah that goes in and cleans up and changes around movies so that Mormon people can
I mean,
watch
obviously,
them.
You could take out the swears and everything.
But they take
but
out.
But just changing the end, like having lookalikes.
Yeah, I don't know if they go that far, but they definitely – they take R-rated movies and make them, you
I'm
know,
try
PG.
And get, I'm going to try and get Rocky IV remade to your expectations, Dave. Or at least just hire some non-union actors to come in. Was Rocky IV – was that with Dolph Lundgren? Mm-hmm. Was that Russia versus
– Yeah.
How much? Like, what?
If I
where's
could
the
change? He could change. We all could change.
Okay, Rocky. It just turns into a political speech at the end.
It was everything was Russia versus America,
yeah.
And it's going to be happening again. So, time to dust off your VHS copies of Ruskies. My personal favorite, Spies Like Us.
Yeah.
Red Dawn, the most violent, the highest body count. Bless your heart.
Woo!
The highest body count in a movie, I think.
In Red Dawn? The original?
It's either that or RoboCop. Yeah. The original Red Dawn.
I loved the original Red Dawn.
Red Dawn was like the outsiders went to like military school. Like the outsiders, like, you street toughs, get your act straight. You're going to Outward Bound camp.
Yeah.
Which is also the movie where Kevin Bacon was the mean instructor to teach trouble kids.
Yep.
These movies, there's a through line. There's your conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
Is how many of these guys, but I'll stick with the original. The outsiders got their shit together, moved to Colorado, and then with their street smart skills outwitted the entire Soviet military.
Mm-hmm.
Cup of noodles!
When they're sitting in class, and the Russians parachute in. Oh, dude. I never sat. From then on, the rest of my academic career, I always sat facing the window.
Did you ever not think at one point where it's like, all right, they're Cuban and this is Colorado? Did we fucked up that bad?
Yeah.
America beefed it that hard that the island of Cuba made it all the way to the central of the exact center of the United States.
It's a lot of those type of movies.
From an with helicopters, yeah. With slow ass hell. Did you? Of all the movies, we got fucking Top Guns out there.
Yeah,
just for this. I think it was made after. I think Top Gun was after
Invasion USA with Chuck Norris. Do you remember that one? 85, 86.
Chuck Norris just
we get invaded. And Chuck Norris says, no, not on my watch.
Delta Force was like, I think I didn't, I was an Arnold guy, not really a Chuck Norris guy.
I was both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chuck Norris didn't do it for me. Arnold got me. Commando, that was like, where are these countries that are just bases of, I don't know.
Yeah.
Now we're trying, well, I'm going to explore that. Outsiders are really that they're the ones that saved America in Red Dawn, so you should really cut them some slack in the Outsiders.
Speaking of movies, interview with
Pony Boy was the one that fucking ratted him out, though.
Which one was Pony Boy?
In the Red Dawn.
Who played Pony Boy?
No, I'm screwed up.
It's Interview with the Vampire.
Sounded like John Taffer when I yelled right there. I'm sorry.
Not Interview with a Vampire.
Yeah, that one.
Again, just people just so? You just misremembered.
Interview with the Vampire?
Is the correct version. It's not a.
Not any old vampire.
Yeah.
It's the, originally called Not Any Old Vampire. Whoa, baby, I'm not just a vampire. I am the vampiro, toots. Cup of noodles or cup noodles? What do you remember, Dave?
Well, I remember it being verbalized as cup of noodles.
Yep.
People would say, hey, let me dip in here and grab a cup of noodles.
It's not. It's cup noodles.
Cup noodles. That's a stupid name.
For some reason, my father still eats these.
That is prison food, man.
Old man loves it.
Really?
Old man loves just a hot water styrofoam.
Wow.
Melty styrofoam.
That is
noodles.
Literally, we have no other options.
Oh, this is stupid. Okay, no. So the noodle brand coming up did not actually have the word of. It doesn't have the word of. You know why? Because until 1993, it was called Cup O' Noodles.
You ever been to that Mexican
Fuck
bar
this
downtown?
List.
A couple doors down from that theater that used to have Holy Fuck and what's the other show that came after that?
It's a
downtown car. Independent theater.
Yeah.
A couple doors down is a Mexican bar, like a hardcore, like old school Mexican bar. It was cash only, just canned Tecate.
Five star bar?
I think it might
be. They had a stage
it's
in it?
Right on the corner.
Shows? Yeah.
Five right star. On the corner. But no food on the no menu, no kitchen, no anything. Mm-hmm. But you can buy cup of noodles.
Yep,
bunch of old haggard Mexican dudes in there drinking Tecate out of a can, eating cup of noodles at a bar. I love it.
Just something. Hey, better than peanuts if you're mm-hmm. trying to get people to eat salty snacks.
Yeah.
This can I just say this list that I have like the way like Rubik's cube or Rubik's like Rubik's with an X. Or Rubik's, R-U-B-I-K apostrophe S.
Based on the structure of the game and of the toy, you would think an X would be involved because there's a lot of crisscrossing going on.
But it was a guy named Rubik.
Uh-huh.
It was some... He's like, here, it says he's Hungarian.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Hungarian guy with time on his hands. But this whole list, the show is not called Sex in the City. It was Sex and the City.
Mm-hmm. Who cares?
Whatever. Cup of Noodles, Whiteout, and then JFK Assassination is the last one on this list. Like, you don't remember the JFK Assassination. You know, it is weird. Did Whiteout have a dash in it? I sure can't remember. My brain is screwy. Hey, wait a minute. They shot John Kennedy? Boy, is my face red. Apparently, so was his. Let me read this one. Can you remember how many people were in the car when President Kennedy was shot?
Yeah, six. There's three rows in that
yeah.
car.
This is the big, according to this, is the biggest example.
People think there was just four?
Yeah. Well, it's a limousine. That's why there's that many seats.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's okay to not remember how many people were in the car.
Because
mostly it's about one and his head exploded.
Can we talk about that for a
minute? I can see why you're distracted from, which, was it automatic or stick shift? Your brain is screwy.
The fact that that was just public domain, that it was just in the zeitgeist for all the just here's a video of the president's head literally exploding.
Yep.
Just think about that. Think about the concept of just a murder caught on film, caught on tape.
Yeah.
All right. If just some old just gunshot to the gut, and you fall down, that would be, it's real. It's caught on tape. The president's head exploded, and I guarantee you and I have both seen that image 1,000 times.
The old Zapruder film.
That's insane. That like, and I get like, well, you know, what are they? Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe they could have censored it or something, you know, put up a – or pixelated it or something. But like I remember just being 6 years old being like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Look at that.
I remember watching – I'd watch the Faces of Death stuff.
Jeez.
And then as soon as I'd watch it, be like, I wish I didn't watch this.
But that's my point. Like you had to seek out – other types of that. Faces of Death was like a real underground black market taboo thing. This was just on every documentary from 63 on.
Because even they knew lasciviousness would sell space.
I mean, that is a violent image. His head just opens up.
I felt like such a dickhead. I was in Dallas and I'd like check into my hotel. I'm like, what are these people just wandering around the street and dicking around and taking pictures of the ground? I'm like, oh, because it's Dealey Plaza. Yeah. Like, my hotel looked over. I'm like, these people just dicking around in the street. Get out of the way. I'm driving. Taking a picture of a sewer cap. Get the fuck out of here. It's like, oh, no, this is exactly where he got shot.
I do think that is also the first time grassy knoll was ever used in the English language.
Are you saying that definitively?
Yeah, just, you know, I never heard anybody talk about a grassy knoll other than the context of JFK.
I mean, it's the most famous knoll.
I've never heard anybody talk about a grassy knoll that wasn't in Dealey Plaza.
I mean, I've heard the term knoll.
Not a grassy one. Bill Hicks has that great joke about how he went to Dealey Plaza and he goes, yeah, and they got it set up exactly like it was that day. I mean, it's just exactly the same, and you know, because Oswald wasn't there.
Oh, man, that one. Are we settled on that one?
Oh, I don't think he acted alone.
C-3PO had a silver leg. That's code word for I know that he didn't act alone. No, I was looking at other examples here.
Oh, boy. What else, man? Any other of these pop out at you? Monopoly Man didn't have a monocle. Did you know that?
That's like, well, I've never thought about.
I think people confuse a Monopoly Man with Mr. Peanut. Mr. Peanut rocked
the
monocle.
That's what I was thinking, too. Yeah, they're both astute cartoon characters. Yeah,
except one's a peanut, one's a human being.
But they got hats. They both got top hats.
Yeah.
That, I could see that being.
Mirror, mirror on the wall. That's incorrect.
Yeah.
Magic mirror on the wall.
Magic mirror. Chick-fil-A. How do you think Chick-fil-A is spelled?
I know how Chick-fil-A is spelled. There's no K in that. I've been looking at Chick-fil-A logos my entire life. It's a good damn sandwich.
Yeah, but the gays.
I will say this, though. You go to Chick-fil-A, you get some good service, and the quality is consistent.
Well, it's because they know Jesus is going to welcome them into the kingdom they're done.
Very cult-like or something.
They know they got Sunday off.
That service, they treat you right there at the old Chick-fil-A.
Hey, you know what? In-N-Out does the same thing, they're fine with anybody eating there.
That's true.
So Chick-fil-A can fucking eat my asshole.
I agree, but man, that's a good chicken sandwich.
Well, what? All right.
All right, here's an interesting one. I didn't catch what they called this thing. A lot of people think there's a big island just west of Australia. A lot of people think that it's a big piece of land just a couple hundred miles west of Australia.
Not New Zealand?
No, New Zealand, I think, is to the east. Anyway.
Yeesh.
It's supposed to be a big
Tasmania.
But apparently there is not. But I saw this.
They call them Tassies.
That move. Pull up a globe. Pull up a map.
Pull up a globe?
Yeah.
Get out your globe.
So a lot of people think there's a big island.
It'd be dumb to have a globe. Do you think it'd be like a cool thing to have? I got no signal down here.
Be dumb to have a globe. I think it'd be a cool thing to have.
I think file globes under dope shit to have in your house.
I love a good globe. anyway, a lot of people think it's a big island just east. Or just west, I'm sorry, of Australia. But apparently there is not. However, in the movie Dazed and Confused, when they're sitting around class waiting for the bell to ring on the last day of school, there's a scene where they're messing around with the globe. And if you pause it at the right moment, there is a big island just west of Australia.
All right. Okay, let's apologize for the signal, but look it up on the phone. We're going to settle this right now.
Okay.
Or maybe we'll cliffhanger it.
No.
And settle it next week.
No, I don't think
we give it. These people have an hour and 8 minutes of free entertainment, and God damn it, Dave, we're doing a lot. This has been an entertaining episode, and a fact filled one. Does Australia have? Don't Google it now.
Oh.
In the next 7 days. Oh. No, you can.
Oh, okay.
I'm telling the listeners.
Oh, so they're not
don't spoil
to-
it for yourself.
Like they're not going to do that.
For till next week. Maybe this is the end of the episode.
Yep. No island, according
God
to this man.
Damn it, Dave. I didn't hit pause yet.
Oh, shit. My bad.
Well, fuck. Well, now let me see it.
Well, oh, boy.
Where did, now, now they got no reason to watch. What is this? This has Puerto Rico above it. What the fuck is this? There's New Zealand. It. Where's Tasmania? Oh, yeah. All right. What do you mean? On the, and so on the globe, they show it? And maybe the shot was...
Yeah.
Maybe the shot was reversed. Maybe they flipped the shot. Is that the director's term? Let's flip the shot.
I don't even know, dude.
All right. Let's...
Well, I don't think this is a two-parter, if that's what you're
You don't think you're
I always
can shit all over
to,
the Mandela effect some more?
What, we've...
A bunch of other examples.
All right, well, let's
suck.
Talk about this real quick before we wrap up, unless right. you want to make this the second part. Why? Why do people make these mistakes? Other, some of them, that people are just being stupid.
I've explained that popular culture has affected the way you ingest, the way your memories are shaped. That's what my opinion.
Well, could it be something deeper, Kyle? Could it be, could you chalk it up to the concept of maybe that there's parallel universes out there?
Well, that's definitely a whole episode of its own.
You want to do that next week?
You're going to just pull a parallel universe theory out of your ass in the next 7 minutes?
I got some info on parallel universes.
Or we start it up now. Or yeah, we fire it up.
I think we get into that next week. The concept of a parallel universe.
By
I like
next,
this.
By next week, I mean now. We just keep talking. And then the illusion of that these are done every week is gone.
I mean, we could get into the multiverse theory. Parallel universes. That concept is...
You know what nobody's talking about? Perpendicular universes.
Mm-hmm. One universe goes one way, the other universe goes the other way.
That's it. Just burnt. Crossover right there. One crossover point.
One dog goes one way, the other dog goes the other way.
I'll Google it. All right, let's... all right, we've teased it, and we'll see if we remember to talk about it next episode. You want to give them a recipe this week, or you want to fluff out parallel universes?
I got a recipe.
He's got a recipe.
I teased it last week, so I feel
He's
obligated.
He's got a recipe for revenge. Dave Stone is the chef.
Remind me next week to tell you about I witnessed a theft in progress.
This one takes a pinch of justice.
I like it. There's a single cam.
This is the alternate. This is the parallel universe where Rocky IV is. You are in Rocky IV as a chef who boxes, and you kill Apollo Creed.
No, I'd kill a Russian.
No.
That's not, secret
not in the parallel universe I got.
Yeah. I don't want to kill Apollo Creed. I like
it's
him.
Not your choice. Parallel universe.
It's like killing
Maybe
Uncle
that's
Sam.
Where all the movies exist that you want to see.
Hmm.
It's a Mormon cinematography parallel universe, and everything's great.
Kyle, you ever had chimichurri sauce?
So many good things start with chim-chims.
Mm. Chimichurri sauce.
Chimichangas. Chimichans sandwiches.
Yeah, so many things.
How did I get drunk? We're not even drinking.
I know. We're not drinking at all.
I feel all doped up.
I got a couple pamplemousses in me, that's all. Chimichurri sauce. It's a parsley-based sauce.
Ooh, rough start.
No.
Parsley, decoration.
No, it's Argentinian. Argentinian.
I'm going to let you figure this one out.
Argentinian.
Nope. Give it a go.
I know Argentina, but if something from Argentina is now what? Argentinian?
Nope.
Argentinian?
There you go.
Uh-oh. Look out.
That was fun.
It's Argentinian. It's a delicious green sauce. If you remember last week, I told you about the marinade.
You were talking about for the steaks.
All right, we're going to marinate that flank steak, hanger steak, just a cheaper, lower grade of steak.
I just want everybody to know you said marinate that flap steak, and I left it alone. Too easy. We're highbrow.
Yeah.
We got real highbrow shit here.
Professional comedians.
You betcha.
So, piggybacking off of last week's recipe, you got that marinade for that flap steak, all right? And then even piggybacking off a few more episodes back when I told you how to grill a steak on an actual grill.
It's been steak heavy, but yeah. Getting people ready for summertime.
Yeah, summertime fun, man. All right. This chimichurri sauce, it's a flavor explosion, Kyle. And now you can use it on steak, you can use it on chicken, you can use it on fish. Put it on ice cream. It's a dessert topping. It's a floor wax. All right.
You can't put it on ice cream.
You could.
I mean, physically.
I'm sure some dipshit hipster ice creamery already has that along with their buttered popcorn rosemary flavored ice cream. Just some of these ice cream shops.
I wonder about popcorn flavors.
Take it easy. Just relax.
I like the Jelly Bellies that are popcorn flavored.
I can take them or leave them. All right, chimichurri sauce. Easiest thing in the world. Get you a blender. Throw all this shit in a blender. Blend it up. Boom. You got chimichurri sauce. All right. You want to get a cup of fresh Italian parsley, not just regular parsley. Those new Subway commercials, have you seen those? Where's the new Italian hero, and it's got all the characters from the neighborhood.
Oh,
hey,
really?
Frankie got him an Italian hero. Hey, Frankie, there's a lot of meat on that sub.
Oh,
hey.
God. If a real Italian person showed up, brought one of those into their own home.
Oh. They get disowned.
They'd have their tongue tied to their belt.
It's a funny commercial, but like, it's just total stereotype of Italian. Like, I guess that's the one culture that is still up for grabs as far as making fun of in a commercial.
You can do white on white. Mm-hmm. Somebody will get. The problem is, I think the representative from like the Italian American Heritage Society would sound exactly like. It's real disrespectful to portray the Italian Americans like that, you know? Like, not all of us sound like that, you know what I'm talking about? Like, I think they would sound worse than the stereotypes.
Yeah.
So they're probably like, let's keep our mouth shut on this one.
Cup of Italian parsley.
I said, don't ever do voices. I did a voice right there.
Half a cup of olive oil. Third of a cup of red wine vinegar. I cannot speak highly enough about red wine vinegar. So versatile. Such a key
red
ingredient.
Red wine. Okay.
All right. Cup of Italian parsley, half cup of olive oil, third of a cup of red wine vinegar, quarter cup of fresh cilantro.
Ugh,
right. And with the parsley cilantro. And the cilantro, when I say quarter cup or a cup, I mean densely packed. Pack that shit in there. Because, you know, if you don't pack it dense, then the measurements are all off. All right.
Cram in there.
I'm going to give you 8 garlic cloves. All right, maybe the whole damn bulb.
You were big on garlic last week.
Can't get enough garlic.
All right.
Take the whole damn bulb, 6 or 8, you peel them, and cut the little root off. I'm sure people know to do that. When you peel the garlic clove, you still got the little root on one end. Just slice that off. You don't want that in there.
Yeah.
All right, 6 or 8 garlic cloves, 3/4 teaspoon of dried crushed red pepper, just some red pepper flakes like shit you put on a pizza.
I don't even buy it. I just have so many different pizzas.
1/2 teaspoon of ground cumin and 1/2 teaspoon of kosher salt. And then a few cranks of fresh ground black pepper. So parsley, olive oil, red wine vinegar, cilantro, garlic, red pepper, cumin, salt, pepper. Boom. Throw all that into the blender. Blend the shit out of it. Bring it to room temp for 30 minutes and spoon a few tablespoons of that on some steak, some chicken, seafood, whatever. Boom.
I feel like I've had chimichurri sauce and I've liked it, but the ingredients make me go like, no. Like cilantro, can't stand cilantro.
What is it with people who don't like cilantro? What is that?
People don't want to eat leafy soap?
It's good. It's good.
I don't – you know what it is? I had it – I think I talked about a cilantro incident.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I made the – yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you are one of these weirdos that is got a problem with cilantro
– some people have – it's a very divisive herb.
It is. Leave it off. Leave it off. But still, go with the parsley, the olive oil, the red wine vinegar. And I'm telling you, man, it is flavor town.
All right. That's a trademark –
can't believe I just said Flavortown.
You just stepped.
I know everybody makes fun of Guy Fieri, but here's an observation. How am I supposed to trust your taste when you clearly have none of your own? If you think that those frosted tips, how am I supposed to trust your palate if I don't trust your fashion sense?
The best joke done on the matter is by Shane Torres, who just, I hope, put in his new half hour special I just recorded. I think the same way, like, you are good at one thing,
mm-hmm.
and the rest of it you're clueless about.
Obviously.
I was watching a documentary about the chess prodigy.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Everything else fell by the wayside once he found chess. Guy Fieri, same thing, just like a chess prodigy. once he started seeing ingredients in food as a mathematical equation, mm-hmm. never to be completed, oh, you can throw any kind of Hawaiian shirt at him. He'll put it on. Mm-hmm. That's my take. Mm-hmm. Hot take.
Hot take.
All right.
Comic of the week.
Who we got?
Brent Weinbach.
Oh, yeah.
You know Brent Weinbach?
Yeah.
Funny dude.
Yeah.
We've talked a little bit about alt comedy.
Yeah.
I get a...
I don't believe in the term anymore.
I get a little impatient with some people who try to do alt comedy. And what I mean by alt comedy, just, you know,
any
unorthodox, non-traditional.
Bad is bad.
Yeah.
Regardless of form.
Brent is a world-class weirdo.
Yep.
And I say that affectionately.
Yep.
I know Brent. We've worked together. He's one of the first headliners I worked with.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got some quirks. If anybody knows Brent.
Yeah.
He's a quirky dude. But he's a good dude. He's a funny dude. And just one of the most unique and original comics I've ever seen.
Yeah. Unique, weird, original stuff. And no matter what room it is, it's not like, well, I'm weird and I don't know how to fit it in. Like, he'll walk in and dominate any room he's in.
Absolutely.
Like, his commitment to what he's doing, like, it works. No matter what room, like, oh, it's a rowdy room, it's going to work. That's impressive.
I worked with him. I had probably been doing comedy less than 2 years. This was probably 07. And I got booked the gig like a month out. It was like, all right, next month, you know, the club owner's like, you're going to host an MC for Brent Weinbach.
Yeah.
Like, who the hell's that? And I went and looked him up, and I was immediately a fan. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking, like, oh, this ain't going to work in Roswell, Georgia.
Yeah.
Like,
the go-kart track.
Yeah,
club.
I'm excited to work with this guy, and I think he's funny, but, man, it's going to be a rough weekend for him.
I ate shit at that club
because his stuff's just too weird for mainstream middle America, and dude just crushed every show.
Yeah.
Had these North Georgia suburbanites just falling out of their seats.
Yeah, because it's good.
Yeah.
It's so not funny. Obtuse to the point where you have to know references mm-hmm. or understand that he's thinking about why a joke's funny 8 steps ahead of what the expected punchline is.
Yeah.
It's like, no, he's just really good at being this crazy weirdo, and it translates.
Yep.
Quality.
Got a new special out on CISO called Appealing to the Mainstream. And I think we talked before about CISO as far as I like what they're doing, but it just seems like
what are they doing? Distribution.
They're all comedy all the time. A lot of comedy specials on there. But we were concerned about, like, it's, you know, I don't know what their subscription numbers are looking like.
It's like non-alcoholic beer. I know it's out there. I ain't fucking with it.
But I just learned this. Did you know that now, I don't know if it's as new or what, but if you have Amazon, most of the CISO stuff is on Amazon.
They're letting you click over.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So if you're – I don't know if it's Amazon Prime or whatever. I just know a friend of mine has Amazon. I was flipping through it the other day and saw all this CISO stuff.
Well,
so including Brent Weinbach's new special, Appealing to the Mainstream. So check it out.
It's in there.
Very funny stuff. He's got some albums. He put out an album a couple years ago, I think, called The Night Shift.
Yeah, that was really a lot of weird sketches and stuff.
Oh, man. And speaking of his sketches, he's got a bunch of YouTube stuff.
Yeah.
YouTube search Brent Weinbach, My Buddy. Do you remember the old My Buddy?
Yeah.
My Buddy and Me. Little doll.
That, yeah.
He does a variation of that, which is hilarious.
He did his, like, what is it, like a gang call?
Oh, yeah, the gangster hotline. That thing's got like 5 million views. That's
just
so
look
funny.
Up Brent. Do yourself a favor. Look up Brent Weinbach. We're not going to tell you the bits.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So funny. But yeah, Comic of the Week, Brent Weinbach. If you don't know him, look into him, and more than likely, you'll be a fan.
What day is today?
Today is May 23rd.
Whoa. Boy, how time flies. It feels like it was just yesterday that it was April 25th.
That's how they get you.
I love my jokes.
Where you get?
I'm going to be at the Turnbuckle Festival at Codfish Hollow somewhere in Iowa.
That sounds like you just made that up.
I know. Turnbuckle Comedy and Music Festival. It's actually This guy's hit me up on Facebook, and it like all right, listen, we know it's gonna sound weird, but this is a barn in Iowa that has been having live concerts, and they listed off some of the bands. Like, oh, these are like larger bands, and that it's a legit music venue, but they do it in this barn. He's like, we want to add comedy into a comedy music festival for this weekend. And I was like, you know what? It seems like the kind of thing, like, all right, it seems like the spirit is in the right place for this, so let's give it a shot. And a few people, like Sam Talent's going to be out there, Nick Thune's going to be out there, Alan Strickland Williams, Diary of Planets playing, they're awesome. Another band, White Reaper. Stop suggesting bands on this. White Reaper is, I don't know if maybe they're real popular now and I'm being redundant, but they're good, you know, garage rock kind of thing. I normally don't like when people go intentionally lo-fi to sound like a different era, but I like them, real catchy tunes, and that's... somewhere in Iowa. Look up Turnbuckle Festival or look up Codfish Hollow, which that, I don't, that seems like a made up name. But that's where I'll be. I'll be at a barn in Iowa this
week. There you go.
Where are you going to be, Dave?
I'm not too far from you. Tomorrow on the 24th, I'll be in Pittsburgh, Kansas.
Not the, don't get confused.
Yep. Pittsburgh, Kansas, spelled differently. I'll be at TJ Leland's. On the 25th, I'll be in Joplin, Missouri. And I think I'm pronouncing this right, Infusion Vodka Bar. It's Infusion, but they spell it weird. It looks like Infuction.
With a Z or something.
Yeah, well, there's an X and some weird.
Yeah, when you think Dave Stone, down home comedy, you think
Vodka Bar.
Vodka Bar.
And then on the 26th, I'll be in Fayetteville, Arkansas, a town I've been to before. Lovely, lovely folks there in Fayetteville, Arkansas, at Stage 18. So Pittsburgh, Joplin, and Fayetteville this week. So come say hello.
All right. You going to have them biscuit shirts with you?
I will, yeah. We haven't talked about that on the podcast, but I got my first merch. I've always tried to avoid having a lame, goofy T-shirt, but now I have a lame, goofy T-shirt.
You got you got four-man function. You got a well-designed T-shirt with the biscuit recipe on it that people have been requesting.
Yeah.
You want that recipe? It's $25. You can wear it.
Yeah. So I'll have – hopefully I'll have some of those. Well, maybe if I don't, that means I've already sold out, so that's a good thing. But I started the tour with a big old grip of a T-shirt. So grab you a Biscuit Brigade T-shirt.
All right. This is a big, fat episode.
Yeah.
You'd be lucky if you get one next week. If I'm just being honest with everybody out there, I just gave you the $1.26.
Give us a rating and review on iTunes. I'm not going to beg.
You just begged.
No, I'm asking. I did hear another podcast. Just it sounded like a telethon. But I'm just mentioning. You know, give us a rating and review on iTunes.
You know what? Buy some dildos or something.
Yeah. Use that.
Buy those dildos from Loot Crate. Man, I thought I was going to get stuff for my butt. And I mean, I guess some of these action figures will fit up there, but. I'm pretty confused with what to do with all these.
Yeah, it's I don't know. Hopefully there's still a sponsor when this comes out. But
shit,
Adam and Eve, your reads on those that copy was absolutely hilarious.
They know they're making it fun.
Yeah, stick it up your butt.
Go get explore. If you're a dude and you haven't had your doorbell rung, give it a shot.
Lick them and stick them, fellas.
Go, lick them and stick them. Find out about your bodies, and then when you do. This isn't even paid content, but get over to Adam and Eve and find something small.
Yeah.
Maybe a pen. Get a pen.
Pick something out and shove it up your ass.
Yeah, get just a pen. Probably comes free. Maybe they just left it in the box with the order.
Use that code Boogie, though. That way they know.
If they are, Steve, even sponsoring this. We don't know the future.
Who knows?
All right.
All right, buddy.
Yeah, man.
The Boogie Monster.
Bye.